We have passed through an unprecedented year in the midst of a global pandemic, so it's not at all surprising that this particular Christmas should also seem unprecedented. It is a difficult holiday season in the midst of dark winter, and many of us might, understandably, be feeling alone and frightened and disoriented and uncertain these days. Honestly, that makes this Christmas rather more like the original Christmas than perhaps ones in our recent memory. Tonight is the first time in the 150-year history of this congregation that we are holding our Candlelight Christmas Eve service online, with all of us participating from our separate homes. The slideshows and videos are innovations, as are the screen sharing in Zoom and the remote choir singing into different microphones. We are making use of these technological marvels at our disposal, not entirely willingly. We've never done anything quite like this at UU Wellesley Hills before, and we may never do anything quite like this again, although I could not swear to that. Yet let's not lose sight of the essential. Amidst massive disruption, there is still continuity, still the same story we tell over and over again at this time of year. Ours is a service of lessons and carols, but all of them put together herald that singular story of the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. We love to tell this story. All around the world, in every possible language, people love to tell this story. What explains the love we have for it? However tempted we might be to relay the children's version of the Nativity, to keep it sweet and short and simple, the Christmas story is, in actuality, none of those things. Instead, it tells a tale of predicament and upset and amazement. Such a humble birth, trumpeted by angels above, narrated by shepherds at night. We are all held in thrall by its multiple paradoxes, by its good news of great joy for all at an unlikely era in history. In her poem, The Risk of Birth, writer Madeline L'Engle concluded, "That was no time for a child to be born. Honor and truth were trampled by scorn." She further declared, "This is no time for a child to be born, as time runs out and the sun burns late." So she asked, "When is the time for love to be born?" The response is, "Any time that birthing happens." "Love still takes the risk of birth," L'Engle mused. It's newsworthy and timely that so-called quarantine babies have started arriving in just the past couple of weeks. Every day, every moment, somewhere on earth, a mother is giving birth. My first encounter with the author was one Christmas morning in my childhood when I received a boxed set of L'Engle's Time Trilogy from my aunt, who was, always, and much to our consternation, giving us children edifying and educational gifts. It's embarrassing for me to now admit how much I resented getting that gift, being the proverbial ungrateful child. The strange part is that I was a bookish sort. I adored books and I devoured them. Maybe I felt so put upon because I took books seriously. Each new book was an assignment for me to complete, and I felt like maybe I had enough assignments already. My aunt explained that she was transported by the first book of that trilogy when she read it in her own childhood. The book, A Wrinkle in Time, is perhaps L'Engle's best-known work. It has oddly become one of the most acclaimed pieces of young adult fiction and also one of the most banned books in America. Its critics claim that it promoted the dark arts and moral relativism. Perhaps. When I read the book, though, I too was taken by it immediately, by its imaginative power and its convincing accounts of time travel. There are moments in all our lives, I suspect, when we are desperate to live outside the constraints of the clock and the calendar. Times much like this winter, I would hazard to say. What if we could rush back? What if we could hurry forward? What if we could be exempted from the present with its obvious unpleasantness? Then we would miss what is being revealed to us now. Lengel explained that she wrote her series of novels, the trilogy was later expanded to a quintet, because she had cosmic questions that she wanted to explore. Note that she wanted to explore them, not answer them. We live by revelation, she continued. The minute we begin to think we know all the answers, we forget the questions. She considered herself a religious writer, and for her, a life of faith kept her asking important questions about existence itself. Why are we born? Whatever are we doing on this earth? Coming home. That's what it's all about. The purpose of the story, she wrote, is to make us aware of our status as children of God and to turn our feet toward home. Each Christmas Eve, we again find our feet turned toward home and ourselves headed in the same direction, finding our way in the dark, making our way toward Bethlehem and the newborn babe, believing, for a time at least, some good news of great joy for all of us about the necessity of the lives we have been given and the imperative of the time span we inhabit. Faith is what makes life bearable with all its tragedies and ambiguities and sudden, startling joys, Lengel insisted. Tragedies and ambiguities and joys are part of all our sacred journeys through life. We recall those truths each time we come around to this holy night. Holiness is a gift, sheer gift, waiting to be recognized and received, Lengel maintained. We do not have to be qualified to be holy. We do not have to be qualified to be whole or healed. Stories are able to help us become more whole, to become named. I suppose that every enduring story is an assignment of sorts. It poses a riddle that we need to comprehend, even when, especially when, we cannot readily solve it. How have we been named and claimed and healed? Inevitably, we return to that mystifying Christmas story with love's pure light radiant in Bethlehem, as the carol proclaims. And like shepherds under the cover of night, we make our way there, perplexed and eager to confirm firsthand those promises of peace that we heard. Tonight, we turned on our computers, logged into our accounts, gathered ourselves around screens, switched on our electronic candles, and we waited. We waited. Now we watch, as is our wont, looking for something wondrous to occur. Will love take the risk of birth in a time such as ours, even still? The Christmas story does not answer those questions, but adds another. How could love not